I'm the same as you. I put my pants on one leg at a time. It's just once I put my pants on, I may go wrecking.
Boys and girls, your attention, please. Presenting a new exciting radio program featuring the thrilling adventures of an amazing and incredible personality. A being no larger than an ordinary man, but possessed of powers and abilities never before realized on Earth. Able to leap into the air an eighth of a mile at a single bound, hurdle a 20-story building with ease, race a high-powered bullet to its target, lift tremendous weights and rend solid steel in his bare hands, a strange visitor from a distant planet, champion of the oppressed, physical marvel extraordinary, who has sworn to devote his existence on Earth to helping those in need.
Up in the sky, look, it's a bird, it's a plane, it's...
It's time for the...
That's right. That's right. From another planet, there are some people... I know that there are some people that have accused me of that. Well, we got... been a while since we've been here. Today, yep. Let's see, what is today? Today's the 14th of August. Yep. And middle of August. We haven't been here since, what, July, I guess?
No, not...
Hey, it was last year sometime. Man.
Last year, right, been ages. We have Counselor Curtis with
us. Hey, hello, hello.
And engineer.
Hey, what's
Eric,
happening?
And Jimmy Doan. We're missing Jack Rhodes. He's got a little medical problem with his wife, unfortunately. We want to say hi to him. But we are going to have, I think, in the second half of this, aren't we going to have...
Special guest
call in.
Yep.
Oh,
which,
yeah.
You know, which you don't want
to... Stick around.
Yeah, stick around for the... Because we don't know if it's going to be the last of this show or the beginning of the next one. So you'd have to listen to the whole thing. Too bad.
Too bad.
That's it. But we did get... We got some emails. We got some stuff from Gunner that we want to talk about. That's really... Yeah. And from... What are we called Bart these days?
It's a Benedict Bart.
Benedict Bart. Benedict Bart.
The traitor.
That's right, the traitor. he's on the hangar dogs now, and so I guess we're not good enough for him. That's what it boils down to.
Actually, I do have a clip from Benedict Bart.
Do you? You're gonna play it now, or do I start with something?
No, I'll play it now. Hang on.
Okay. Don't everybody hang on at the same time.
We have actual clip, don't we?
An actual clip.
Hey, Jimmy Doan Show, it's your favorite counselor to be. Felt like I need to clear the air a little bit about this Jimmy Doan versus Hangar Dogs thing going down. Think everyone needs to know that Hangar Dogs, there's a lovely methadone clinic that gets me through the day when my unreliable dealer, i.e. Jimmy Doan, can't come through with that beautiful white H that I've been waiting for. So, that's kind of how the balance of power is at the moment.
All right.
So they're on. So where are they going to get the H from? I don't know. So ours is better anyway. Yeah. Okay. We're in good.
Our connection is better than
the eighth.
Ours
connection. The eighth.
Huh?
The eighth.
The eighth. Oh, yeah. I see an eighth. That's right. I thought it was H. She was talking about a little horse there. No. Okay. So anyway,
you got to excuse Jimmy.
No. Well, that's what they call it for.
He's did a little too much LDS in the 60s.
Yeah, that's right.
So we got emails and stuff.
Well, we did get a note from EJ. EJ has always sent some stuff, and he forwarded this letter that was a Dear Abby letter. Let me read this. Dear Abby, I'm a crack dealer in Beaumont, Texas, who has recently been diagnosed as a carrier of HIV virus. My parents live in Fort Worth. One of my sisters lives in Pflugersville and is married to a transvestite. My father and mother recently been arrested for growing and selling marijuana. They're financially dependent on my other two sisters, who are prostitutes in Dallas.
That sounds like EJ's family.
Well, again, we realize it might be, but this may be why he sent it to me. I have two brothers. One is currently serving a life sentence at Huntsville for the murder of a teenage boy in 1994. My other brother is currently in jail awaiting charges of sexual misconduct of his three children. I've recently become engaged to marry a former prostitute who lives in Longview. She is a part-time, quote, working girl. All things considered, my problem is this. I love my fiancé, and I look forward to bringing her into the family. I certainly want to be totally open and honest with her. Should I tell her about my cousin who supports Barack Obama for president? Signed, worried about my reputation. Yeah, that's right. That's what he's worried about. Yep. Okay.
Yeah, I wouldn't worry about it.
Wouldn't worry about it too much. So,
I did want to give a shout out to, we got an email from Tom over at theofficialmancard.com.
Oh, right. Yes.
Because we had talked about that Jimmy
getting his punch to
his revoked.
Something.
Yeah, right. Yeah, for not doing the fun stuff on the grandma and
Yeah, no, that's right. No, I was no, there was no question. It was pussy wussy all the time. It was just, it was really bad. Jimmy was whopped into submission by the three. By three generations of vaginally enhanced people.
Well, anyway, I think they're going to give you a chance to redeem yourself. So, yeah. If you get a chance, go check out officialmancard.com. They got a really very well-produced site, great green screen stuff, lots of video work. They do lots of video work, and they go all over the place. It's like a real show on the web. So
cool.
Go check it out. You know, it's pretty neat.
And they didn't even pay us for that endorsement.
Hey, we got it for free.
That's right. That's right. Okay, so we got some legal things to do.
Oh,
which
my
reminds
God.
Me, Engineer Eric, are you gonna go diving? Like you want to go diving, right?
Yeah, I want to go diving.
Well, I heard the venomous lionfish. Now they have new lionfish down there in the Bahamas that are killing everybody. Nah, what do you mean? Nah, did you see the thing that about the new cuttlefish they found that's deadlier than the ringtail octopus?
Or the blue ring octopus.
Blue ring, whatever, yeah.
No, ringtail. I didn't know. I do like cuttlefish. They're pretty cool.
Well, they found one that apparently the blue ring is supposed to bite you, right? And then you die.
Yeah.
Okay, this cuttlefish apparently...
Didn't you see Octopussy?
Yeah, I know. And then, yeah, right. And that was, you mean the documentary?
Yes.
Okay, right. The point is that, this apparently, if you touch this cuttlefish, you die.
So
it's apparently the venom is even deadlier than.
Well, I don't think they have a lot of cuttlefish around, where I was.
But they got this lionfish.
Well,
and apparently.
Lionfish, yeah,
I mean, the lionfish, they said they're
it's a red lionfish. What happened is some dude's tank broke and let six of them into the water in Miami. And he was like, "Oh man, like my fish, man."
Yeah.
And then there was like a obviously they're red lionfish. They're not indigenous to these waters, so they figured that out. The lionfish
killed everything
because they figured out they're like, "Hey, this is kind of like a all you can eat buffet."
Yeah, no, but I mean, apparently it's like that weed that grows around.
Oh
here.
Yeah, I mean, they're reproducing worse than
rabbits.
Well, and they said that they must have like launched a some kind of a little egg sac and it floated up the Gulf Stream because they're right now they're all in the Bahamas too.
I guess we need to have a cuttlefish ombudsman or something.
Well, the cuttlefish
or a cuttlefish lionfish fight would be good.
Yeah, right. Yeah, alien versus predator. Okay,
right.
Good. So no, the thing is though, but if aren't you going to go down there? Aren't you worried about dying or anything down there? I mean.
Not a lot. I mean, you got a line. First of all,
how do they react to a spear gun?
Yeah, really.
Well, I mean, but Of course, you can see them because they're so poisonous. It's not like they hide or anything. It's not like they're.
But they don't go around chasing you, trying to poke you with their little spines.
Well, according to this article here, it says here the red lionfish. It says here. Let me just see here. It says this one guy that was down there. Said that they do come up to you and kind of look at you like maybe they're going to, you know, give you a bite or something. The red lionfish, a tropical native of the Indian Pacific Oceans, that probably escaped from a Florida fish tank, showing up everywhere from the coast of Cuba to Little Cayman Island, pristine, bloody bay wall, whatever, prime destinations for divers. Wherever it appears, the adaptable predator corners fish and crustaceans up to the half its size with its billowy line, sucks them up in one gulp.
How does it corner a crustacean? I guess a crab or something?
Well, it's got big old like fins on the side. It kind of like spooks it.
Research observed that one lionfish eating 20 small snails in less than 30 minutes, this may very well become the most devastating marine invasion in history, said Mark Hickson, an Oregon State University marine ecology expert who compared the lionfish to a plague of locusts. There is probably no way to stop this invasion completely, so.
Well, I got a bang stick.
Yeah. It's an open season.
So anyway, moving on to the next item that I've got here is, I thought this is a computer thing, being a computer geek myself. Court blocks MIT students from showing the subway hack. Did you read about this?
My computer is the best on earth.
Yeah, exactly. they have this thing out there called DEFCON or whatever out in one of those computer geeky things out there where they show all their computer hacks.
Right, right.
And apparently a federal judge stepped in. They were getting ready. They had a display on how to hack the Boston Boston subway for, you know, basically get rides for free. And apparently they got a restraining order. I mean, isn't that prior restraint?
Probably.
Copies.
Who's going to do anything about it? I mean, this is, you know, hackers by their nature have a really bad reputation. I mean, I would imagine it would depend on how specific, how easily it would be put into place. What you can't do is you can't facilitate crime in the way, like, you can't give somebody a blueprint to exactly how to commit the crime.
Well, they said they plant, they
like
said,
a good novel.
You can't set up a kiosk and just take the money from the people and then you bust them in?
Well, like of course, that kind of, yeah, I was going to say, gives happy half price.
Did they have a problem with that?
Well, you know, now, two things to consider here. Number one is they says they plan to omit key information that would make things easier for anyone who actually wanted to hack the payment system.
Right. Well, so, that sounds like in this line of code, you got to put in this little squirrely thing that you've seen in your emails before, but we can't give you that key piece of information.
Well, what you do is you see all these REM statements.
Right.
If you take them out, right. The remark statements, right, then right. It'll work. Okay.
all the comments.
Yeah, all the comments. Yeah. Just eliminate the comments and yeah. But anyway, in one slide explained in the presentation, it's 87 slide presentation circulating the. It already got out on the internet, so I don't know what they're going to do. One slide explains that the presentation would teach attendees how to generate fare cards, reverse engineer magnetic stripes on cards, and hack radio RFID cards. And then the next slide says, this is illegal! So the following material is for educational use only. So, I mean, my question is...
They're not... RFID card, eh? Yeah. The thing is that they're not going to charge these kids. I mean, that would be where you would bring up prior restraint because they haven't done anything.
So then
this is a civil injunction. So, I mean, basically what they're saying is the subway authority is saying if this information gets out there, we're going to be irreparably harmed or at least big time harmed.
Yeah, big time. Because not
irreparably. They can prove it.
They said what they said was that they're working on a fix to get around whatever these hacks are, but they need some time.
There's always, I mean, as you know, being a computer person, there's always new hacks and there's always new fixes.
Well, Granick, here's the deal, said this guy, apparently, I forget who it is exactly, said ordering the students not to share their findings would be dangerous and have a chilling effect on legitimate researchers who want to point out flaws that lead to system improvements.
Well, I would think just having the injunction probably wouldn't do that. I mean, you'd make that argument, but like I said, if they were to arrest the students, that would be going way too far, because then nobody would do these kinds of tests. I mean, you have to have the, quote, good guys out there trying to hack your system.
The white hats.
Right, so that you figure out where the weaknesses are. And even the subway authority should know that. I agree. I think they probably overstepped their bounds, but they don't know. They have no idea what these people did with the computer thing. I mean, it was some lawyer who did it, some bureaucrat, not some computer guy, probably.
Well, a judge signed off on it, though.
Well, but the judge is signing off on the temporary thing no matter what.
Yeah.
I mean, as long as they allege serious harm. And then, they've got to get their computer guy in there to prove it. I mean, that's how... If the MIT people want to fight it, they'll just go in there and say, look, we left out this key information, and it's not going to be harmful, and they'd still have to do a whole lot of work, and by the way, and here's a fix for your system right. for next time.
We only gave you 11 of the missile launch codes.
That's
I
right.
12.
That's right.
The next one's between 1 and 10.
That's right, and you have to guess and find out which one it is.
Right.
You have to guess. That's right, exactly right. No, I mean...
It could be a letter or a number.
Yeah, but I mean... That's right. And, well, the thing about it, of course, is that if they... What good is the seminar if they're not telling you how to do it?
Well, I agree, and that's probably, one of their...
I mean, that's what these guys do at the DEF CON thing. It's right. And they kicked a lot of reporters out, I think, for some of this stuff, as I recall, some of that.
Everybody's getting paranoid,
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, they did... Speaking of that, of course, that they did arrest... The New York subway system had been hacked or whatever for, a couple of million dollars worth of free fares. They found out that there was a mistake... In the software, when you issued, it was like going up to a teller machine, an ATM.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And
you Xerox top of five and put it in there and gives you free tickets?
Well, yeah, something along those lines. What happened was it turned out if you hit, five times in a row or something like that, it would give you a free ticket. I don't know what it was.
Right.
But it was something like that somebody stumbled across it.
Right.
That kind of stuff's happening.
And of course, it got out. And of course, what happened was the first people that stumbled across it, what they were doing was they pumped out like $20,000 worth of tickets in one day, and they, apparently it's been going on for like a year or two, and the software did not catch it. In other words, they said, well, there's always some little glitch or something like that. And apparently, they went around to different boxes and different machines and everything.
Complicated everything gets, the more this kind of stuff is going to happen. I went to the gas station the other day, and the people pulled me aside and said, because they knew I was an attorney, and they said, what can we do about this situation? Our manager just got fired because pump number 7 and 8 was pumping a gallon and a half per gallon. And we told them about it. We said there was a problem, and they said, we checked it out, computer this, computer chip that. But the bottom line is, for a month, if you went and got gas at pump 7 or 8, you were getting an extra 50% or something.
Yeah.
And so,
dang.
Well, you know, we talked about that on one of the shows about the guy that showed up at the Shell station, like after hours, had the code to unlock and everything. Was had all his buddies. You know, anyway, they found these people. You know, they arrested them. The three or four people that were doing most of the damage that had actually figured out. You know, the secret code. Of course, it reminds me a little bit. I remember when I've got my first, I'm going to date myself. When I got one of the first HP 35 calculators, if anybody remembers that, this was the very first scientific calculator, and it was called an HP 35 because it had 35 functions, and it was a little LED, and it was a really great little machine. Turned out it had a bug in it that if you hit, it was the most off-the-wall, weirdo bug you can possibly imagine. It had to do with some kind of weirdo keystroke. There was like 27 keystrokes you had to do exactly right, and then it would give you an error like in the 13th decimal place of some logarithm. And somebody found out about it like in 3 weeks after this thing was they did a recall and replaced anybody that would cared about this particular esoteric problem in the 13th decimal spot. It was just hysterical.
And people keep talking about, this kind of stuff is going to happen, and one of the things that I see happening is the kinds of fixes, the kinds of preventions that they'll have in place, all these super electronic protections, it's going to prevent normal people from hacking them, but the super criminals are just going to go from the inside.
Right. And it'll be an inside job. Right. Again, criminals are criminals. They'll figure out a way. Man. It's no big deal. No, yeah. I understand that. And of course, a lot of times, as we have seen, especially with something like TSA, this is typical of government, one size fits all. And it doesn't matter if you're a granny nursing a baby or whatever the hell it is, you still get the strip cavity search or whatever, and no private.
They're looking for box cutters.
Yeah, right, exactly. It's just, and are you any safe? on and on. So this is what they do, and this is why, when you see this sort of thing, it slows everybody down, and people don't realize that time is money, and every time you have to spend an extra 5 or 10 or 15 or 20 minutes or 30 minutes or 50 minutes or 2 hours at the damn airline or extra set of encryption codes or whatever for your BART ticket or whatever, it's this, that adds up, and it takes away from productivity. So it's a typical government, and we love, and well, I say the market would figure it out.
Right,
the market,
right.
If it was private, let me tell you, if it was private, they'd have figured it out. I don't know how it would have been done, but they'd have figured it out.
Well, you got a lot more people working on it when it's private, when it's a diversified attack. If you have the government do it, it's singular. It's one.
Well, not only that, the people involved in it really don't care. Let's face it. Nobody's going to lose a paycheck in the government. It doesn't matter if you see this. Like the lady was saying, we looked at the papers. They had the readouts from the various kiosks, and there would be a $5 or $10 or $15 or $100 or $1,000 discrepancy. And they just chalked it up to some kind of we don't know, and not my money. That kind of thing. And as I say, it ended up being literally millions of dollars, and they finally got some people and arrested them for fraud. But speaking, I want to ask you also about, as long as we got you here on the legal thing, and this was a big deal. Woman sues for right to massage horses. This is up in Maryland, Damascus, Maryland. Now, this is one of those things that this reminds me of that.
Yeah. Oh, we got our studio horse.
That's it.
Is that a Clydesdale?
No, not going that fast. That's a
happy horse.
Yeah, that's a happy horse.
That's getting a massage.
That's right. Standing up massage. Okay.
He's had some Budweiser.
He just ran over the barn for a massage.
That's it. Yeah, well, where that horse is going. Mercedes Clemens, interesting name, she's certified to massage humans, but she claims the state of Maryland is keeping her from first love massaging horses. But this is one of those things about licensing, isn't it?
Absolutely.
She shut down her equine practice because she was worried that they were going to take away her license to massage.
Oh, they definitely would have. They would have hanged her. This whole licensing is so protectionist. It's so un-American. It's so unequal. You have to prove yourself to become equal, and they inadvertently wrecked a huge number of people's activities. By singularing out, by making the license only applicable to the veterinarians. That is, only the veterinarians can
massage
horses.
You have to have a full-blown veterinarian certificate in order to rub a horse down, for God's sake.
Exactly.
Give me a break. Well, of course, you're an attorney.
Yeah.
And as you know, until, before, I guess, you got your license and everything, but when I was growing up, you know, if you did anything, you had to be a full-blown attorney. You know,
right.
There were
well,
no paralegals or anything like that.
You want to set somebody's broken finger, you better be an MD doctor.
Right.
I mean, they've got it. That's how licensing works. It makes it stricter and stricter. I mean, hey, they're going to do a good job of setting your finger. But all of the productivity that would have been gained by letting some nurse do it, or all the money saved, you know, by not having to go to medical school because you really want to set fingers, or
just the sheer numbers of people in other countries, you know, or whatever. If you didn't have licensing, you can, like I said, outside the country, you can get away with a lot more than in
right.
this country.
Well, and that's more and more all the businesses that are restricted by licensing will leave the country. That's exactly what happened in Britain before the collapse of the mercantile system, when they had India and all these millions of workers out there who were willing to make textiles before they got their license.
Right.
And shoes before they got their license. You know, how dare they? Well, they're doing a pretty good job. So, yeah. And then people started to buy their products. And then the British system just collapsed. They just let it go at
right.
one point.
Well, that's you know, again, that's, of course, what's a little bit what's happening in China these days is...
you hope?
It is. I mean, they're getting a taste of what it's like to have a few extra yuans or whatever, renminbis or whatever they call their money, and that's going to do a lot for the system in spite of what anybody thinks. In March, a letter to Clemens, the Maryland Board of Chiropractic Examiners told her that state law is very specific in barring massage therapists from practicing on animals. The National Board of Certification of Animal Acupressure and Massage plans to start an online exam next month to create credential standards. I mean, can you imagine?
Just ask
Among
yourself.
Other things, it will test massage techniques. That's online, okay? It will test
online.
Yeah, on a horse online.
Yeah, all right. Okay, we'll test massage techniques, anatomy, ethics, and animal behavior. I mean, give me a break. You know, the business has grown steadily along with interest in alternative treatments and pampering for pets. I mean, you know, how do these people get away with this? I mean, how do they go to sleep at night thinking that
they've convinced themselves for the good of the state? I mean, what interest could the state have in a horse's massage?
Yeah. I mean, and who's being protected?
Other than
the veterinarian.
That's what I mean, is the state is being protected. That's what they claim. You know, somehow.
But he says that horses can be very dangerous animals. They can kick you if you don't know what you're doing.
Well, not only that, you might, if you massage it the wrong way, you might hurt the horse.
Right.
I mean, give me a break. You know,
might get a cream surprise.
I mean, I can tell you as a guy, I mean, I remember when I went to
Soaked down.
What is that again?
You might get a creamy surprise.
That's right.
Soaked down, you know.
Well, what did they call it? What was the Chinese lady, when they asked her, you know, about her massage prices, and she says, "Well, we charge $60, but we charge more if you want happy ending."
we like a happy ending.
We charge more for it. Oh, and somebody else was telling me that the new slam. Speaking of Chinese people, the new slam is that you can't say anymore is you can't say a chink in the armor.
That was the anger dog.
Is that anger dog? Yeah. Okay, that's right. Oh, I had to laugh. I had to write
if
that
you get
one
a
down.
A chink in your chainmail. You can't.
Yeah,
say
you can't say a chink in your armor anymore. Right. So that's
right.
And speaking of legal, so anyway, I mean, this whole thing is it continues on, and this is more of what I call the lockdown. Here's another one. Wichita County man. And I want to ask you about this. Wichita County man gets life sentence, life in jail for his 10th DWI. I mean, how did he get to 10? I wonder.
Well, no,
one.
Look, hey. Anybody who's listening now, and Jimmy just pulled off to see if anybody who's listening now who wonders how you could get to 10, give me a break. You have driven more than 10 times under the influence, probably in the last year.
Yeah, no question about it.
And the only thing is, this guy got caught. And you know why? He probably lives in a town.
He's next to a sheriff.
Exactly.
Right.
And every night he pulls up in town, they walk over and go, "I just saw you driving."
Well, he was convicted 10 times. Nine previous convictions.
You would get convicted 10 times doing that. I mean, I've defended so many people.
Yeah, but I mean, here in Florida, if you get convicted like the second time, you go to jail. I mean, that's
it. Well, he's probably been to prison before. He's probably been a few years.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Let's see. The offense was a felony.
Yeah, well,
because he had at least two convictions in the past,
third, right?
So he faced 20. Okay,
You see, in Texas, they got a three-strike felony rule. That's
right.
Why he's getting life.
Right,
is because he's had two previous felonies been convicted of. This one is his third felony. Maximum sentence is life in California and Texas for that, among other states, I think.
I think in Texas, it'd be death.
You'd think.
Oh, you wish life. Life. Go to California, you get life.
The jury handed down a big sentence, but it's just a sentence, Hoover said. The jury apparently took this offense seriously and wanted to send a message that multiple DWI offenders not going to be allowed back on the roads of Wichita County.
Awful. I've tried to find out whether or not this man actually ever hurt anybody.
Well, that's the other thing. I mean, yeah, exactly.
You know, he could have gotten 10 of them, like I said, driving up in his driveway.
Right.
Never having had even an accident.
Right.
I mean, I defended people who went to prison for years for their multiple driving on a suspended license.
Is this mens rea thing?
It is partially mens rea because it's a general intent crime, which means you don't have to have intended to hurt anybody. You just have to have intended to drive. And it's like, it's very.
Well, of course, this is the same. I guess they liken this very often to that. If you walk into a kindergarten being taught by nuns, waving a, you know, six shooter around up in the air, saying anything you want, even though you haven't hurt anybody.
Well, there's several differences there. I mean, one is, what are your intentions with the firearm? I mean, are you there for a firearm safety class?
Yeah. I went in the wrong room.
Yeah, then no problem. And then two, in that class.
And you're drunk.
In that class, there are potential victims there in the audience right there. I mean, attempt is a crime because there's a potential victim, even though there's no victim because you didn't actually do it.
Okay.
But, you know, you shot at somebody. Okay, there's a victim there. It was the guy you shot at.
Okay, what if you don't shoot anybody?
Well, if you aim at somebody, that can be assault.
Right.
And so you didn't actually hurt anybody, but you could have scared the piss out of them.
Yeah.
And, I mean, that's bad.
Which, of course, reminds me of...
Especially if you got a urinary tract infection and you are hurting them.
Yeah. Well, of course, that reminds me of there was two things recently that were...
Well, let me finish off on this.
Okay, I'm sorry. Yeah, go ahead.
So, but what it really does is it also... It cuts out both. DUI is one of those crimes that has oftentimes no criminal intent and no victim. Because you can get pulled over, and like I said, on the way home from a party,
right.
Nobody's around you.
Lights out.
There could have been no other car even on the road. And yet, somehow, they're going to claim that you might have been harmed to somebody. And so here you are, not having intended to hurt anybody and not hurting anybody. And you can still go to prison for it and for life, as you can see for this guy. And I've actually defended people who've never even got a DUI. It was just a licensing violation. They just didn't. They just got several suspended license charges and still went to prison.
God, so, can you imagine? I mean, going to, you know, you go to a certified rape room for that kind of stuff.
Right.
It's just really bad news.
Right.
I mean, that is.
It's awful, this kind of sentencing. And the DUI people really are the scapegoats right now. It's going to catch up. You'll see the cell phone things, and then they'll be eating in the cars, won't be allowed. And then,
well, eating, of course, is a bad on so many things because usually it's a 1,500 or 1,900 calorie meal, which is bad for you. Also, that's obesity thing.
Yeah, then you're getting into whether or not you're going to violate the new retroactive laws on obesity that they're going to enact in a couple years.
Yep, it is.
And the box of donuts.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, can't have if you have a box of it's prima facie evidence if you have a box of donuts on the seat next to you, half gone.
Mm-hmm.
that's a violation of your cholesterol limit. That's right.
Your
violation of your trans fats or whatever it is. That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
No, I was saying, in New York, then they want to include building parks to encourage exercise near fast food places or something like that.
Well, they wanted, what they did is, of course, I think we talked about this last time, they banned any more fast food in some place in South Central LA or something like that.
They
banned them. I mean, you know,
right.
You can't
they
just,
did. And,
they
and,
just outzoned them. And, of course, what's interesting is the ones that are still there. Guess what?
Raking it in.
They're raking it in, boy. No competition. I mean, wouldn't you like to have, if you were the McDonald's, if you were, had a, what is that?
Kentucky Fried Chicken.
Yeah, no, yeah. I mean, and we're talking about, we
double,
have.
Double, triple trans.
Yeah, that's right, exactly. No,
fat,
not only that,
fats.
we have the, what do you call it? Triple large, drumstick box, 22 pieces for
it's one. A piece of fat wrapped in fat, smothered in fat,
that's right,
tied up with fat,
and tied up with bacon almost,
right. Served in a bag of fat air.
That's right, and gravy. Don't forget the gravy.
Gravy.
Yeah. That's right.
Impregnated with fat.
I mean, yeah, they haven't done anything, and you're going to see these types of efforts. And it's just awful. And
well, they've been doing it. They've been running a thing on if you, I'm not much of, haven't in the past been much of a Doonesbury fan, but they're running now. The comic strip today is about this guy's working in one of these fast food restaurants. And now that they have to publish the calories on the, about each thing, the guy walks in and says, breakfast, 2,316 calories in it. And Zonker or whatever looks at the guy says, well, see, you don't have to eat anymore for the whole day or tomorrow.
Right.
Save you some time. So anyway.
Well, people keep asking me, I'm getting this question more and more now, how do we know when things have gotten really bad? What's the trip point for when you leave the country?
Yeah.
And one of the things is these random bans like this. And
well, not only that, they have now, as you well know, we saw this, we talked a little bit about the 4th of July weekend, but it's even still, you can get stopped for one thing, and oh, by the way, we peeked in and saw all this other stuff.
Well, yeah, well, that's they've always had that.
But, I mean, some of this stuff is so innocuous. And I was noticing here, for instance, oh, here locally, by the way, they have voted. They did decide, even though the staff said don't do it, we're going to have red light cameras here in town.
Oh, really?
Yeah, ten places they've decided. And, of course, you can't, it's certainly no reason that you think anybody's in it for the money, because they said, well, it's not going to cost the city anything because the company that's going to put up the cameras is going to pay for everything for a piece of the action.
Right.
Hey, you know, no, of course it's not about the money.
A piece of the action?
Oh, no, they're getting a piece of the action.
Yeah,
and
that's
it's
right.
Not like a small piece. I mean,
No. It's a chunk. And it's, you know,
it's like 15 to 25%.
That sounds bad.
No, I mean, and of course, what they've got is a escalating fine situation.
I mean,
the third time you run through, you could lose your license.
How much more revenue would you get if you program that camera to take that picture a little bit while it's still yellow?
Well, let me tell you what they said. Interesting you mentioned that.
How much would you get when you sell the electromagnetic pulse machine that blows the camera out as you're driving up?
The entire light off of the line.
right.
Well, of course,
as we talked about before on the show, when you have the special license plate cover changes
UV
radiation
shield.
Yeah.
One of the fellas that I think I sent you some stuff.
We're in the wrong business. We need to get in that red light business.
Oh, I like the red light.
Yeah. said business, not district.
Did you see the thing I sent you from Jeremy? What's his face?
Is this still on the same subject?
Yes, it actually has to do because he was taught. He's that Brit guy who did the. I'm going to shoot the car off the cliff thing that we did. Okay. He is really a funny guy. I didn't realize this. He's got like a show. He's all over YouTube and everything like that. But
if you haven't been on YouTube, it's this guy. He shoots cars as they throw him off cliffs.
Well, I don't know if you know this, but his main job for the Guardian or whatever magazine he writes for is car reviews. And he's got a whole website about cars he hates, cars he loves, and so forth. And he talks about this camera business. And how he was noticing he was driving down the M5 or whatever it was and saw where a couple of cameras had been like bombed out. And he says, you know, you really need to do and he talks about how to do a better job of it to really wipe out the cameras that are.
Really?
I will find his name here in a second because he is really one funny guy and you can't miss this stuff.
You know, I know that I have some sound effects.
Always wanted to kill one of those, and now is my chance.
Pull! Now that's what I call sport!
And when you see it, of course, that's what I call sport! But anyway, he was talking about that kind of stuff, but he's got a whole thing on what it takes to be a man and all this other stuff. And
well, look what I've got here. It's a Carl Gustav anti-tank gun.
Yeah, you gotta go check him out. So what's his latest rant?
Well, he's got a bunch of them, but what he has is some sayings, if you want to call it that.
Right.
That are little rules about life or something like that. And oh, here we are. I got a little bit of it. In 2 million years, man has managed to discover only three important things: fire, the fact that wood floats, and the horse. Then within 100 years, starting about 1820, he came up with everything else: railways, cars, airplanes, horror stories, electricity, the computer, the lawnmower, the record player, barbed wire, and of course, linoleum. Jeremy Clarkson is his name.
Okay.
Anyway, that's the kind of stuff he does. And that brings up, I put this in one of Jimmy's quotes here in a way. In 2 million years, basically, all of life, all of meant life with humans.
Ugh, sex.
Well, and you know, and basically the way you got rich was to beat your neighbor up and take his shit.
Right.
And until starting about 18... I mean, that was
to
it.
To put it simply.
No, that was... That's,
no, Todd don't store horse.
No, I mean, whether you
get
talk...
Get Todd.
No, you talk about the Persian Wars, the Peloponnesian Wars, the whole, you know, yeah. Genghis Khan. I mean, basically, it was rape and ride, and, you know, I've got your crap now, and
sort
you're
of like
dead.
Dine and dash, kind of.
Yeah, exactly. And rape so, and but I mean, that, and it's starting about the Industrial Revolution, 1820, suddenly... In 100 years, you ask yourself, well, what's the difference? In 100 years from 1820 to 1920, all of these things, seriously, steam engines, electricity, the telegraph, communications, the airplane, telephone, just everything you could possibly imagine, the Industrial Revolution and so forth, between that, in that 100 years.
Came from the government.
Yeah, right. Yeah. No, but the whole, that's exactly the point. It was capitalism that did it. It mm-hmm. had nothing to do with the government at all.
The government.
That's right. They suddenly woke up and
there's
said,
a
you know,
a lot of people that believe that
oh,
today.
I know,
you
know man. I know.
And that was what,
we'd had a long time ago if the government gave it to us then.
Yeah.
Yeah. Damn.
Our government. That's... Slackers taking their time.
So anyway, the whole point is when you think about the phenomenal thousandfold increase in wealth in a lousy 100 years, and where did it come from? It came from basically people being free, doing their own thing. So here's a couple of other quotes I got. The market encompasses and integrates every market sector. It represents the dynamic flow of usable capital. So let me just see here. Only the individual can make proper judgments about these factors. And when he participates in any market sector, he helps establish a price system that imparts this information to other participants, not only in his sector, but others as well. As a result, absent political interference, the personal needs of market participants drive capital, time, skills, and other resources to their most productive uses, maximizing human effort in all sectors and minimizing waste.
Who wrote that?
I don't know.
It sounds pretty good.
It's really good. I mean, the point is that this is the key to everything. When people, they talk about environmentalists they talk about efficiencies and everything, but the fact is that the market in and of itself, all by itself, without any interference from the government at all, does all of those things, and people have more faith in God than they do the market, and the market basically allows them to go to Publix in the morning and get anything. They can have any one of 200 different kinds of cereal and don't realize that the reason for that is had nothing to do with them personally, but it was 50,000 people on the planet working for their own benefit mm-hmm. that brought those 200 different kinds of cereal to the marketplace. I mean, you walk down the cereal aisle, you may not like a lot of those cereals, you don't have to buy them.
I like the example of the 7-Eleven and the drinks in the 7-Eleven.
Yeah.
Just at the 7-Eleven, there's like 200 or 300 kinds of drinks.
Oh right, you mean in the coolers?
Right.
Yeah, I know, it's unbelievable. In fact, I've got to the point now. It's so funny. You used to go into the 7-Eleven because you could get out of there in a hurry. It was like, no, I'm serious. It was, you know, you don't go to Walmart. Right. You don't go to the super Walmart to buy a Coke because you know you got to walk 4 miles.
Right.
Not only that's where you get to the Walmart. Right. I mean, I'm talking about across the parking lot.
Right.
Then you have to walk and then go get it and then you have to go to the checkout. So one of the things I always liked about the 7-Eleven was you could dash in, grab your Coke, and not anymore. Man, right. I'm telling you, hunting around through that damn cabinet and all those 400 different kinds of Cokes and Sprite. I mean, everything you can possibly imagine
and
is
nobody
in
would imagine if you had to put one person in charge of drinks for the 7-Eleven.
Yeah.
And you said, okay, give us a comprehensive list. Everything everybody might need for the 7-Eleven. I mean, how many drinks would it have? A dozen?
No Coke, Pepsi.
No Coke, Pepsi.
That's right.
I mean, seriously.
Cheeseburger.
Who would have...
What do you mean? It's got a Slurpee. That's the only drink that we make.
Right. Who would have 7-Up and Sprite?
That's redundancy.
That's right.
Some bureaucrat would make a choice and have a study that shows
and have a bribe.
We had an expert that came in and gave us
financial analysis.
That's right, analysis
and
of
the analysis
why
for my
this,
finances
and it's better for you, not for me. It's better for the customer that they have.
Anybody can see that it's a redundancy, like you said, and therefore it's inefficient.
I mean, what if the Sprite dude doesn't show up 1 week? You know, Mountain Dew man makes out like a bandit.
Yep. Along these same lines, of course, I was thinking, I was watching this the other night. I went up to Publix the other night to do shopping at like 9:45. They close at 10. There was still like a lot. There was a couple of things of sushi left in there and the bread. And I'm thinking, what do they do with that stuff, you know, after after, I mean, you know, it's not going to be fresh bread in the morning. It's
they chuck it, man.
They chuck it. Well, that's the whole point. They chuck it. And somebody would, my first thought was, you know, why don't they have, I saw this before someplace or another. Oh, I know what it was. It was on this hot dog guy. What he does, he has a portable hot dog stand. This is Philly or outside of some place where a lot of the, maybe it's in New York City, outside of a lot of places where the people from the stage
Spill
out on the streets at 2 o'clock in the morning. So what happens is he sells hot dogs, you know, $2 a piece, $3 a piece, whatever the hell it is, all night, you know, starting about 6 o'clock and everything. But then when they spill out on and he's ready to go home, he has what he calls a bag. You know, it's a bag for $5. You know, whatever's left until he's done. It's a bag for $5, and then he empties out and then he goes home.
Well, they do that at Publix. They got the
they
got the sale items.
They do have
sale and it'll say baked yesterday.
Well, I tell you this, when I go up there in there, not too often, let me put it this way, not this one.
Well,
not mine, and they don't. And in fact, I mean, I've gone in there and seen the bread that I wanted, for instance, the night before, and then gone the next morning just for, and it's not there. They're baking a whole new batch. Now, the question is this, why wouldn't they have the sale at the end of the night, you know, in the last 30 minutes or something, all the fresh stuff has to go? Well, of course, what would happen in a market situation is that people would stop buying during the day, and they'd all show up at, you know, 9:30 or whatever it was to buy the stuff, quote, on sale, unquote. And the point is this. Here is a case where throwing it in the trash is more efficient for everybody concerned than it is to try and make sure that all the stuff gets eaten.
It could be.
I mean, no, I've seen this happen before. This may be not the best example, but
I understand exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah.
But it's a private decision to do.
I understand that. Yeah. And it was one of those same things that for people, for instance, that talk about the waste that's involved in packaging.
Well,
you know, the fact is you've got styrofoam, you got a piece of paper wrapped up in a styrofoam box and so forth and so on, you know, and all this other stuff. And then it's all labeled and handed to you and then it's wrapped again. Who knows what?
You got an iPod the size of a TV box.
Exactly. You know, that two people to carry your iPod into the house. You know, what's up with that? But the market figures all this out. It's so funny. It is just, I laugh at this all the time when I see people trying to say what would be best for the rest of us,
right?
As if, you know.
Well, it
might be better, for instance, that food didn't go to waste. On the surface, that sounds okay,
right?
But you cannot imagine the distortions in the marketplace on down the food chain.
Well, I understand the when I was teaching Photoshop and web design around all these hotels, big fancy hotels. A lot of times they'd have these huge monster buffets out,
right.
and people would go over and they'd have, you know, a piece of roast beef, and then they retire and it's like, oh, there's food left, and I said, what do you do? They said, we chuck it. You know, because they go, we can't do anything with all this food, so we have to throw it away.
Well, now, a lot of that, of course, it turns out, interesting enough, they could do something with it, except it's illegal.
Right.
That's what I'm saying. It's illegal for them.
Even in those cases, you would say...
It's $1,000 easy worth of food.
Right.
And they're going to throw it away.
And can you imagine some homeless person, you say to them, oh, this food's been out, it's been exposed to the air for like 3 hours,
right,
and so you can't have it.
Yeah, in front of a bunch of executives in an air-conditioned environment.
Right.
At the Hilton. Yeah. But
let me tell you, if you had had other homeless people come in and spit on that food...
They'd still eat it.
Right, I mean, seriously.
It's like Homer Simpson with that sandwich he had for about 3 months.
Yeah.
They were going to throw it away, that big long Subway or whatever. Yeah.
So I mean that's where the distortion of the government comes in and ruins it for you, as I say. But the free market actually throws food away as well, but for another reason entirely. The same action, two different outcomes, and the government one obviously is destructive, and the private one is, to me at any rate, creates the efficiencies that you need. That's a fascinating story. Okay, do you want to take a break now or?
We can. Well, the only thing, if you wanted to just talk about it real quick, was just the gunner that wrote in with that huge lockdown.
There was a couple good quotes in there. Okay, here's the executive order. Okay, here it is. Executive Order 8-208, order declaring an emergency curfew in a limited area in the city of Helena, West Helena, Arkansas.
This is serious, folks.
Whereas the city of Helena, West Arkansas, so forth, has a duty to provide protection to citizens,
six whereases.
Now, therefore, be it ordered, directed, and decreed. I love this. Isn't that the Anglo-Saxon business? Ordered, directed, and decreed in accordance with Section 7.12-01 of the Code of Ordinances of the City of Helena, West Helena, Arkansas. A mandatory curfew is imposed and ordered for the next 48 hours and to be reimposed after each expiration until the problem is resolved. The City Council can meet and decide on the appropriate course of action. The police department has been directed to treat the curfew zone as a zero-tolerance zone. No loitering, standing, or, quote, hanging out will be permitted. All traffic on foot, bicycle, automobile, horseback, moped, motorcycle, riding mower, or other mode of travel will be subject to stop and investigation.
Yeah. That, so, no, this is real. What this
folks, is real.
For those of you who are clearing your ears out, there is literally, this is in Helena, West Helena, Arkansas, a town of about 15,000 people. They've cordoned off about 6 square blocks, and they've said that you cannot be in this area. Okay, if you're in this area, you will be or can be subject to search, and for no reason other than the fact that you're in this area. In other words, and this is 24 hours a day.
Yep.
And if they're unsatisfied after they search you as to why you're going to be there, they can detain you further. Okay. Basically, what this says, this is literally, as you imagine it, a martial law situation.
Right.
They've literally said this area is controlled by the government, and if you're in there, you will be subject to the Gestapo coming up and asking for your papers.
Now, basis for all of this, or whatever the reasons is, of course, it's a high crime area.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And one of these whereases says, whereas without these drastic measures, the citizens in the affected areas will continue to live under siege.
So now they have a new siege.
Right.
Well, the government siege.
Right. Government siege, that's right.
Well, and they're
good siege. It's right. A good kind.
Yeah, and the curfews will remain in place for all minors, but adults are allowed out if they can answer questions about their need to be outside your home. So what are you doing?
What are you doing out here?
I'm a working girl. What do you mean, what am I doing? I'm working.
I'm working here. I'm working here.
Let's see. There was also, of course, this is from Gunner, and he said... police will likely expand their 24-hour curfew patrols beyond the 10 blocks currently watched by officers with armed with military rifles and night vision goggles.
Yeah, I like that. That's right. I cut that off. That's right.
That's good.
Night vision goggles. Can you imagine?
Now, look, if you don't,
I mean, let me tell you, the crime situation, I understand it might be bad crime and everything like that, but boy, I'll tell you.
How bad can it be?
Now, well,
it can't be. Look, this is a result of the drug war.
I know.
This is the drug war right here.
Yeah.
Because without drugs, there's no crime going on.
No, that's
there.
Right.
There's nobody being hurt in this situation.
Right.
None of these citizens are in danger by the other citizens that are supposedly.
Unless there's a turf war among the drug dealers.
Right. Which is possible.
But that's the only reason anybody ever gets hurt. It's not because I don't believe that too many people get hurt. The way a transaction works is you give the drug dealer gives you the drugs and you give them the money, or vice versa. Right.
Both people are happy.
And both people are quote happy, unless the drugs are bad.
Which is rare.
But of course, usually what happens is the guy who gets the bad drugs, I understand from personal experience. No, I understand that person, usually the drug dealer is somebody that is going to beat you up anyway if you go and complain.
Yeah,
I mean, unless you're a regular.
I've defended people who've gone back to their dealer and tried to return drugs and stuff.
Really?
And fights broken out or whatever.
Yeah, but those are one-on-one. That's certainly not a reason to have a SWAT team.
One out of 100 of the deal.
Right,
I mean,
most
of the time, the deal goes down fine. And the only reason...
And the reason is because if you want to stay in the drug business...
You got to provide
a decent product.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And you got to keep your customers, because it ain't
happy.
One of those high repeat customers.
Well, it's high, but...
Well, yeah. But it's not one of those situations where you can go out and get a whole bunch of new customers by advertising.
No.
You know, it's...
Well, actually, you know, you do have the walk.
It's kind of word of mouth. Or nose or whatever.
Or whatever. But, I mean, and you do have the walk.
Well.
The pimp walk or whatever they call it.
Go ahead and do that and see how long you stay out.
Yeah, that's true.
See how long you stay out.
And now, if you don't believe us, go to Wikipedia, okay, and type in Helena, West Helena, Arkansas, and you'll see this. They've even got the curfew mentioned in the description of Helena here, which is a small town. So they, and it says here that they've done 10 city blocks, and I'm a little bit shocked and amazed. But as I sit here shocked and amazed, I got to bring up the letter that we received, or that not we received, but Vanity Fair, I think it was, received from that Cuban dissident. Or no, was it the Raleigh paper?
Okay. Got it from the Cuban dissident.
Right. Who was talking about how when Castro came to power,
right,
he was preaching change. He was a young, charismatic leader,
right,
preaching change, and everybody jumped on board, and look what happened.
Yep.
And, you know, we talk about this kind of stuff and about the U.S. going down and stuff like that, and you think, well, it can't happen here.
Right.
And that's
always,
what,
in fact, that's the way it always people say, right, it can't happen. And so, let me tell you, a lot of the stuff that's happened today, I mean, when I was growing up, people were saying it can't happen here, and it already has. Now,
right,
we haven't gotten to the point where they're not actually walking in yet to the Jimmy Doan studios, but, you know.
Right.
But we're trying.
We're trying. But so anyway, the point is that here we have a charismatic guy preaching change.
Right.
And I got a letter from somebody that said, well, you know, when I put something out about this on the emails, I got a letter back from somebody who said, you know, look, come on, that can't happen here. You know, there's a big difference between Fidel and Obama. Come on, come on, come on.
Yeah, that was me.
That was you. And I wrote back and I said,
you said, they always come to you preaching nice, the road to hell is paved with good intentions.
The road to hell is paved with good intentions. And what happens so often in this is that because of the restrictions that government puts in, something breaks out untoward, something they didn't expect. And the next thing you know, reluctantly and with a heavy heart, I go in front of the American people and hereby declare martial law or whatever it is. Right. And I've seen this happen with inflation, with wage and price controls. Nixon and the, you know, with a heavy heart, I go, I know that wage and price controls are not a Republican thing and so forth, but, you know, this crisis with the gas and so forth and so on, and I hereby declare wage and price. Well, you know, I understand that with a heavy heart, but I can see it coming.
Yeah.
And so you might, with the noblest of intentions, if you are still locked down, no freedoms, martial law, like these guys in Arkansas, the result's the same. I don't care if you are sorry.
Right.
I'm still going to get shot if I go out on the street.
And before Hitler came to power, you're talking about a civilization that had Kant, and, I mean, all these great philosophers, and it was very civilized, most educated nation on the earth, arguably, at the time.
Well, it was interesting because when the peace treaty was signed at Versailles from the First World War, the head of France at the time looked at the treaty and said, this is not a peace treaty, this is detente for 20 years, and he was right on the money. And how bad the peace treaty was.
There were indications of that, but Hitler still had to go through the people.
Right, and he was elected.
Right.
And he was elected by the people and so forth. And surprisingly enough, there was a little government shenanigans involved. I mean, hard to believe, with the burning of the Reichstag and stuff like that. Seems to be some dispute about that. That's like the Tonkin Gulf thing that we did, you know, or the blowing of the Maine or whatever that, you know, started wars. So anyway, the point is that with the best of intentions, it could happen here, and eventually it's going to happen here because the government's getting big. But speaking of that, before we, along the same line, just to finish up, but did you saw the new sign for Obama, right?
No, what's it say?
It's this. Have you seen? This is the new salute. The new salute for Obama.
Right.
What I'm doing is I'm holding up my hands.
His middle
shape.
Finger is up in the air.
No, it is not. excuse me, that is not true. It is the shape of an O.
It's like an Oprah O, yeah.
It's like an Oprah O. That's
right,
the new.
Right.
Now instead of doing a flicking your lighter, you know, in the audience,
right,
you hold
right.
up this
hold
O, the O thing.
Yeah.
And of course, I was thinking, well, McCain probably ought to, you know, take a lesson from the police, you know, the YMCA, do the M for.
Uh-huh. Right,
you know,
right.
What's the M look like? That's
yeah,
the two hands on
yeah,
your head.
Right.
Okay, so maybe that could be the new McCain salute.
Well, Barrister Tommy wrote in, and he said, frightening but true, as the flower children of the 60s become the blooming idiots of the new millennium.
I like blooming.
No, I like that.
It's very good.
I'm very afraid that we are very soon going to have a situation where more than 50% of the population is being fed by minus 49%, and that is when the shit's truly going to hit the fan. I can only imagine the kind of social welfare that will be demanded by the baby boomers as they move into retirement. Fellow Gen Xers, hang on to your wallets. Here comes the transgender, eco-friendly, organic health symposiums on diet, aging, and emotional wellness sponsored by your tax dollars. As Ronald Reagan once said, a government that robs Peter to pay Paul can always count on support of Paul.
Right. And actually, I think it was Milton Friedman said it before that. But I mean, that's exactly right. And that's the way it always works. So that's, and what's interesting is, of course, I think we've pointed this out in one of the previous podcasts. Even today, 50% of the income taxes are paid by 3% of the people, and the other 50% are paid by 97%. That is to say, if you are in the top 3% income, you pay half of all taxes, and the bottom 97% poor people, quote unquote, pay only 3% of the total income. So it's already very, very Marxist progressive. You know, right. This is a number. This is like number.
But it's not enough.
It's not enough. We're going to change. And we're going to change it. So anyway, we won't take it.
And we'll be back in a minute with more of your favorite, the Jimmy Doan Show. Yes.
And our
mystery guest.
Our surprise guest.
That's right. Little Fall of Envy here. Check them out on their website. They're really cool.